Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line live right here on Sports Grid on a Wednesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. DRS, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Hope everybody's Valentine's Day went over very well in their households out here. But we got some business to do today on a Wednesday, and it's time to get after it.
My first Wednesday in a very long time. Feels good to be back here in the mix, kind of, you know, figuring it out. DRS was like, listen, man, you sit down. I do Wednesday rundowns here. So this is all, if you don't like anything you see today, it's all Donnie's fault. If you do like it, though, I'll be sure to take some of that credit back my way. We begin, though, Derek Carr's latest, as he has officially been released by the Las Vegas Raiders, clearing way for him now to pick his newest destination.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun talking about maybe some likely destinations for Derek Carr, but was told a little while ago, Kevin, he's going to get cut. He'll be lucky to get a job somewhere. Watch how many teams will be in play for this. And could it be, Kevin, a fight in a certain division going back and forth through the services of Derek Carr?
It certainly seems that way. Could very well be an argument right here on this show as to where we think the best landing spot for Derek Carr is. We also got some official announcements with some head coaches, both Eagles coordinators. Shane Steichen is officially the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts here, DRS. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, man. You did your homework there on Steichen. Out of town now to the Colts. I really do like this move. As an Eagles fan, it's tough to see a guy that was calling the plays go when he had so much success. But even though last time around the Colts did take an offensive coordinator from the Philadelphia Eagles, Frank Reich, they're going to do it again. I think it's a very good move for the Colts. I really do.
The big thing here, and not that it's super surprising, but Ursay very forward about the fact that they're going to look to draft a quarterback with their top five pick, which I know, right, is kind of a classic Jim, Ursay move. So just keep that in mind when we're trying to figure out the futures market and where quarterbacks could possibly be landing. And then the Eagles defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, hired by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday at the facilities. They see the video of him meeting Kyler Murray. Gannon seems jazzed up. Murray seems as about excited as you would expect Kyler Murray to be. And the Cardinals here have found their new head coach.
Must be a really good interviewer, too, but you sort of saw the writing on the wall that the Eagles were going to lose both coordinators when the football teams, the Colts, and also the Cardinals go, we're going to wait till after the Super Bowl to get a better picture here. So you knew if you're Lou Anarumo, who was up for the job in Arizona, like, hold on, I've been interviewing all along. They're going to wait till after the Super Bowl. I think I could see the writing on the wall. We'll see how it works out here. Gannon was very good in Philadelphia. It's interesting that they went defensive there in Arizona, though, Kevin.
There's a lot also around the performance of the Eagles in the Super Bowl and if that perhaps should have reined in interest in Jonathan Gannon. We will dissect that as well. Lastly, in the NFL, Todd Monken, Georgia offensive coordinator, the Georgia Bulldogs, was formerly with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before that, is back up in the NFL as the Baltimore Ravens announce him as their new offensive coordinator.
Fresh set of eyes there, and also keep in mind, it looks like the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson both had input on who was going to be the OC. We'll see how that one plays out.
It is, of course, the big question that still exists in Baltimore. Will Lamar stay? Will Lamar go? And we will unpack that quite a bit, not just what the best option for the Ravens is, but what's the best option for Lamar Jackson, where he should be hoping this final decision ends up. The radio audience joins us here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside of the Early Line on SiriusXM Channel 159, spinning it over to the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics had a battle last night, and if I were to tell you that that game went into overtime at a 131-125 final, you said, man, that must have been an awesome game with all the superstars involved. Nope. No Jason Tatum, no Jaylen Brown, no Al Horford, and still the Celtics made the Bucks earn every last bit of it. Good for them, though, as Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo stepped up and combined for 76 points in this victory.
Yeah, Celtics were there to play right from jump here, taking control in the first quarter, forced the game to go to overtime. I did lose the game minus 8.5 as a side for the Bucks, but did hit an easy points prop there on Derek White, who continues to excel over the past couple weeks here. He only had to get over 18.5 points, hit that easily, but that's a sign of the times here. That's a very good win, obviously, for the Bucks because it's the Celtics, but the Celtics, you don't take away too many moral victories. Maybe that was one.
The one thing is for Milwaukee now an 11-game win streak that sees them just a half game back of the Boston Celtics for the best record in all of basketball. Certainly noteworthy there. We also saw the Phoenix Suns in action against the Sacramento Kings handle their business 120-109, and all of the active Big Three members were fantastic. 32 points for Devin Booker, 29-11 for DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul stealing the show, 17 points, 19 assists for the Phoenix Suns.
I got to keep reminding myself here about the Phoenix Suns that when you see them play, like, hey, 120-109, that's a really good basketball team. And then you see Kevin Durant cheering on the bench going, that's right, they got Kevin Durant. He's coming back. Oh, this is going to be a tough team down the stretch, Kevin.
We will see, though, when KD officially debuts, as there are not that many games left as it pertains to the regular season and when the playoffs begin. Last night in college basketball, a number of notable games out there. One, though, DRS Classic College Basketball, as Syracuse and NC State went to battle here, and Syracuse at home covers a light 1.5-point line favored in their direction against the ranked Wolfpack.
Yeah, thought the Orange would be able to be the victors here. Why? Because NC State doesn't shoot the three-point shot all that well, only 26% from three-point range.
How about that? We go to Derek Carr next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. We begin with Derek Carr news. All things were pointing this direction, and they officially have now come up where Derek Carr was released by the Vegas Raiders. This, though, again, it's not this big salacious headline. Oh, my goodness, they cut Carr. They didn't cut Carr. Carr decided that he was going to be cut, leaving the Vegas Raiders with nothing. Which is a sneaky part of all of this that is easy to overlook, but I can't help but start there quickly, Donnie. What a disaster from the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, a lot of people think they're going to be able to bring in Aaron Rodgers, but still, to lose a quarterback of Derek Carr's stature, I think most people would have him inside their top 16, meaning he's a top half of the league quarterback, and get absolutely nothing in return when the Vegas Raiders could use plenty in return is just bad business.
It's horrible business. And I don't even know, Kevin, how it gets to that point because we were bringing it up yesterday. Like, Derek Carr, we know, is going to get cut. But we knew this for a month. They sent the guy home, a 31-year-old Pro Bowl quarterback in his prime, that basically said, we don't want him to be our quarterback next year, and if it goes past February 14th, we're going to cut him anyway. So every other NFL team, including Derek Carr, goes, you know what? We're not going to give you any compensation for this. We're just going to wait and sign him, and then we don't have to give up any draft picks. Because if what you're saying could be correct, right? Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers quarterback, he gets traded to Las Vegas. Let's just say it goes for two first-round picks. Well, hey, we traded Derek Carr away for a first and a third. We can recoup some of that and at least have some draft capital left over. You don't even get that. And I think that's probably, Kevin, the biggest takeaway. Not where Carr is going. It's as an organization that's the bottom of the barrel right now as what we're looking up in that AFC West. How could you do this here? Because maybe your best option was keeping Derek Carr, but worst of all, you got nothing for him. That's amazing.
And a lot of people thought that Tom Brady was supposed to be their answer. Obviously, Tom is retired. If they bring in Aaron Rodgers, many will say no harm, no foul. But again, you still could have used a lot. You could have used any assets that would have came back in return
yes.
to help bolster that roster that needs more than just going from Derek Carr to Aaron Rodgers. To then think about where Derek Carr is going to potentially land, there are a number of interesting spots that you can cook up. However, there does seem to be two front runners right now, both coming from the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints, who are 35-1 to win next year's Super Bowl, and the Carolina Panthers, who are 55-1 to win next year's Super Bowl. And my takeaway from that is not that both of those teams make sense, Donnie, but it's the fact that if you have a head-to-head battle of two teams in the same division, Derek Carr is going to get paid big time here, no matter where he lands.
Yes, and you have to remember again, because the only reason why we keep on including Aaron Rodgers, because there's a lot of moving pieces here for quarterbacks and big-time quarterbacks that can go. If you want Aaron Rodgers, Kevin, let's just play this angle first, right? You're going to have to pick up the phone and call the Green Bay Packers. What do you want for him? Starts at 3 first-round picks, right? Well, we know that's a negotiating ploy. Let's just say it winds up at 2 first-round picks. You don't get Aaron Rodgers for like $2 million a year at that point. You give up 2 first-round picks, then pay him $60 million. When you're looking at Derek Carr, obviously he's not as good as quarterback as Aaron Rodgers, but he is much younger. But you don't have to pick up the phone to any team and go, well, what's it going to take to get him? And then we have to negotiate a contract. He's on the open market. He's going to make the best decision for himself, both financially and also for team fit here. But it's a little bit easier to fit Derek Carr in for any team out there because you don't have to give up any draft compensation. It's just about the money now.
It absolutely is. As far as New Orleans and Carolina goes, when you think about the arguments that each team will make, New Orleans is probably going to be able to say, hey, take a look. Kamara, Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, a lot of guys in the room. The thing with New Orleans is they have the least salary cap space in the entire league. I have no idea how they are possibly bringing in Derek Carr. This is kind of one of those things, though, where you say it all the time. I agree. The salary cap is fake. I don't know if bringing in Derek Carr means the Saints would have to lose some guys. But at 35-1 right now, if they bring in Carr, Donnie, I mean, you look at the rest of the landscape here, is 20-1 too much of a move for the New Orleans Saints if they bring in a quarterback of his stature?
I don't think it is, because let's play the narrative right now, right? Because there's some people out there that believe Derek Carr is a young quarterback at 31, which means he probably is at least 5 to 6 years still being in his prime. He's not a running quarterback, so it's all about arm talent at this point. But there's also people that will say, like, well, he's a bad quarterback. He didn't play well. What are you actually going to pay him here? But as we said, like, the fit that gets in, it's not so much that you would look at even say today, Kevin, right? Like, oh, if Derek Carr goes to the Saints, the first bet I'm placing is a Super Bowl championship wager at the FanDuel Sportsbook on New Orleans. That's not what we're saying. The odds are actually saying, okay, if they're, let's just say, 35-1 to go to 20-1, that means, yes, they improve their football team here with a chance to go into the playoffs. And the reason why I'm using playoffs, not Super Bowl, Kevin, is you've been saying this, and rightfully so. If you get Derek Carr on the Saints, and status quo, let's just say, for the rest of the NFC South, Atlanta goes, hey, we're playing the long game here. It's going to be Desmond Ridder. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Frank Reich comes in and goes, I'm not going to take another veteran quarterback. I came in here to build a foundation. We're going to draft a guy. That takes them out of the equation. And then Tampa Bay goes, boy, this isn't looking good for us. We tried for a couple quarterbacks, couldn't get them. We're going to trade away Chris Godwin. And yeah, we're going to see what Kyle Trask has to offer at quarterback. The reason why those odds would drop is why? New Orleans is probably going to win that division, which means automatically a home game in the playoffs with a chance to advance.
Yeah, and that's why I think you would see that type of movement. For Carolina, who sits at 55-1, mm-hmm. I think they are at the minimum jumping in front of the Saints. If you look right now, 75-1 is where you find the Falcons. It's where you find the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there's a big gap there. I think the Panthers would move to favorites in that division with bringing in Derek Carr. I would say, I think there's more of an onus on the Saints here. If the Bucs don't bring in a quarterback, yes, they're probably going to be bad. But to me, there's some early indication that they're okay with that. That they're going to take a season, absorb $35 million of cap hit on Tom Brady, and it's going to be a lost year. So that's fine. If the Falcons don't bring in a high-level quarterback, well, we're going to start Desmond Ridder. We're going to give him 1 year, and we kind of all know that we'll figure it out after that. Okay, that's fine. The Carolina Panthers have a first-year head coach. They're not under the gun as much with Frank Reich. Plus, they have the 9th overall draft pick. Perhaps they could go out and trade or and draft a quarterback and start fresh there. I think there's a bit more pressure on the New Orleans Saints. In hour number two, you and I will talk more about these two teams and what makes sense for Derek Carr and where he should hope to be landing. The one team that is seemingly lost a little bit from this conversation, and again, there's a number of teams that could be interested, but it's the New York Jets. We know the Jets want a quarterback. And initially when the Derek Carr news started, the Jets were the team. But then we hear a lot about Rodgers, a little bit about Lamar Jackson, and really none about Derek Carr. Is that a mistake if the Jets find themselves not involved in the Carr sweepstakes because they just have their eye too focused on Aaron Rodgers?
It's a very interesting point you bring up, too, because other teams are going to be calling the Green Bay Packers as well, which means you have to come up with, again, compensation that fits Green Bay's eye, and then you have to go out and pay $60 million there to Aaron Rodgers. This is a young, up-and-coming team, so if you say, hey, let's keep our draft capital, and I know you love Joe Douglas. He's a very good GM and also very adept in the draft and stacking draft picks, so you figure the talent that would come along with if you got Derek Carr would not hamper your future as Aaron Rodgers. You're basically saying, okay, what do I have, Kevin? Having a 2-year window to get after it when that's a very good division. If you have Derek Carr and you don't put it together right away in the next year or two, it's okay. Derek Carr's 33. All these draft picks are starting to play football. Now we can really get after it. I do think that the Jets are in a tough spot because they have to make a decision fairly quickly, and that might work out in not getting either one of these quarterbacks if they miss the boat on Derek Carr.
What's so interesting is the game you can play with these quarterbacks and their ages. When you take a look, obviously, we just mentioned 31 years old for Derek Carr. That's kind of the middle of Lamar and Rodgers. And you would think that everyone's priority would be Lamar, then Carr, then Rodgers. There are a couple of teams out there that seem to have Aaron Rodgers as priority one. We talk about the Eagles coordinators, their new landing spots, and what it all means coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pair of coordinators gone in Philadelphia. Usually, making the Super Bowl keeps your coordinators around. Another one of the excuses that people offer up as to why Eric Bieniemy has not been made a head coach in this league. And yet, both of the Eagles coordinators are gone. Jonathan Gannon with the Arizona Cardinals, Shane Steichen with the Indianapolis Colts. We begin with the offensive coordinator Steichen, who is now in Indianapolis. And I don't think you can give this anything other than an A++++++ because it seems like this job came down to a final two of Shane Steichen and Jeff Saturday. Therefore, this is the best possible hire they could have made, because if they would have hired Jeff Saturday, it would have been an all-out disaster.
It could have been. Yes, it would have been a lot of fun to watch, actually. And from an Eagles perspective and a fan perspective, you would have loved that to actually happen, which meant that he would be out of the running for that Indianapolis Colts job. But let's get down to how it actually worked here. And Kevin, I joked all along here. This was the worst run coaching search in the history of the world. Now, as I say that, at least in the professional world, as the NFL goes, I actually thought he really wanted to get Saturday as his coach. And it looks like as we were going down, say, hey, man, candidates are dropping out. You know, the Super Bowl is going to be here. Maybe it would be Saturday. But I think they got the right guy, because when you're looking for a head coach, sometimes you want the new shiny object, right? A guy that's never been a head coach before. You just came off a lackluster season. You have a high draft pick. You're probably looking for your franchise quarterback. Who do you look for? A guy that's called the plays of an offense, which obviously Steichen has done over the past 2 years in Philadelphia. You look for a guy that goes, well, What's the MO with that offense? Wow, young quarterback here with a little bit of mobility. See the maturation process of the struggles in year one, but still make the playoffs. And then an MVP caliber season that ends in an unbelievable Super Bowl performance. If you're a franchise, isn't that exactly what you want out of your coach here? You're not going to get like, oh, I wonder what happens when he has to call the plays now. No, you got that. He was in a winning organization, talking about Steichen. Now he's headed back over to Indianapolis to rebuild that franchise. And if they do go out and draft a quarterback, this is the guy that I want mentoring that quarterback, and away we go. A very good signing for the Colts here, I do believe.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what you said right there is that he was a part of the growth of Jalen Hurts. He didn't come into anything that was ready-made for Shane Steichen. So if you are going to draft a quarterback, that's good. I also, again, think one of the best things that the Eagles were able to do with Jalen Hurts is what when they wanted to throw the ball. We have always said this on this show. The Eagles always want to throw the football. But early in Hurts' career, that wasn't the best option, so they would adjust the game plan. Or if Hurts was having an off game, they would adjust the game plan. And I think that then gives the Indianapolis Colts an ability to not need one specific type of quarterback. If they fly up the draft board and draft Bryce Young, I think that would be great. If they trade back and they draft themselves Anthony Richardson, I also think Steichen will be able to figure that out. The Indianapolis Colts could use more weapons, I think, than people realize when this is a roster that's been hyped up year in and year out. Outside of Michael Pittman Jr., they do not offer a lot in terms of the pass catcher. So they are going to need to surround whatever young quarterback they bring in with some legitimate pieces. To compare that to the Jonathan Gannon hire, there is, of course, he's a defensive guy. The one caveat that seems to be offered up when you bring in a defensive coach is that, well, at least they're very young. And Gannon does fit that description, only 40 years old here. A lot of people, Donnie, seem to be concerned, though, about the performance offered up by the Eagles' defense in the Super Bowl and the fact that the Cardinals still went through with this hire here of Jonathan Gannon. You don't share those same concerns.
No, I don't, because there's a lot about organizational building outside of one single game that you called. Could have been better. Yes, it was also Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes off a bye in the Super Bowl, off a 30-minute halftime Super Bowl to make some adjustments. And Gannon wasn't able to keep up. There's no question about that. But you can't look at the Jonathan Gannon hire from the perspective of, oh my goodness, Mahomes lit him up. You have to look at the totality of seasons, how good this team was on defense from the secondary and the defensive line. Yes, they had talent, but doesn't everybody have talent? Maybe one great defensive coordinator with zero talent that has great defenses and sort of some metrics there. The Philadelphia Eagles had the best overall defense in the NFL, but there's also something about getting into a room with the ownership and the front office of a football team and making them believe that you are the right guy for the situation here. And also in Arizona, you know me, Kevin, I never think you should go defensive. I always think you should go offensive coordinator, because that's the way that if your football team wins, you stay as the head coach. You don't leave because you were a hot offensive coordinator at that point. But if you're looking at 2 years that Gannon was in town, is it the most fantastic defense we've ever seen? No. Yeah. But it's a very competent defense that obviously has a schedule of, hey, here's my game plan for the organization. This is where I think I fit in here. Let's see if we can give it a whirl. And they made that decision. Now, again, I wouldn't have made the defensive decision. I don't care who the defensive coach is. But obviously, if they waited, Kevin, till after the Super Bowl, they must have known early on this was probably going to be their guy.
Yeah, they clearly had an eye for him. I think that's a great point. To try and tackle, though, this idea of kind of the Eagles' defense and what they were. A lot of people have said, here are the list of relevant quarterbacks they played. The Lions with Goff, the Jaguars with Lawrence, Mahomes, of course, in the Super Bowl, the Dak game, and then the Aaron Rodgers game. First of all, stop throwing Kirk Cousins out, because it doesn't help figure out the averages, okay? Because adding Jared Goff into the mix and not Kirk Cousins is ridiculous. The Detroit game, they allowed 14 in the first half. The game was over. It was garbage time points. They dominated the Minnesota Vikings. The Jags only scored 21. That's not super noteworthy. Aaron Rodgers finished with a QBR of 33.5. Does it sound like Aaron Rodgers lit them up in that football game? No. Because he didn't light them up in that football game. They did, though, get absolutely decimated by both Dak and Patrick Mahomes, who are the two best quarterbacks that they saw. And it is fair to then have some concern around Jonathan Gannon because, quite frankly, Donnie, what they did in the Super Bowl was unacceptable. I know Mahomes only had 182 yards. He also had a lot of yards taken away from him because of a scoop and score and a ball that was punt returned to the five-yard line. It's not like he struggled passing the football. He only had one second-half incompletion. The Philadelphia Eagles scored the most points ever in a Super Bowl loss. Boy, when I saw that stat yesterday, my stomach turned. That is on the defense. There were no adjustments there as Mahomes lit them up and did whatever they wanted. People sending out viral clips of a play the Jaguars ran with a lot of ease to score a touchdown against the Eagles all the way back in week four, and how that was used by Reed not to score one but two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Factoring in that it's a defensive coach with a quarterback who seems at any moment this could go left and you have to trade him way before you ever thought you were going to, I can't say I love this hire. I can't. I saw Lou Anarumo have more success against better defenses, Donnie, against better offenses, with probably less talent. And, of course, the caveat is I would have wanted an offensive coach in Arizona more than Indianapolis, I think, because of everything that circles around Kyler Murray.
No, it doesn't make sense. And exactly, that's usually where you go. Like, you have to figure out Kyler Murray. Usually defensive coordinator as your head coach isn't that figuring out point. Now, we'll see where they get as an offensive coordinator and move on. But also, you can't really make excuse. You have to play on the field you play on, right? If it's minus 20 degrees out, it's pouring rain, so be it at this point. But everybody knows the Eagles had one of the sack master defenses in the history of the NFL that was completely nullified by the field conditions here. That was a part of it. That was a big handicap coming into the Super Bowl for me of why I really like the Eagles. You say to yourself, how do you beat Patrick Mahomes? I don't know. Give me the sickest front four you could possibly have. We don't have to bring any blitzers and rely on your secondary. Sooner or later, the Eagles are going to get home or at least get a lot of pressures. They weren't able to do that. So it does knock out. And right, you needed a defensive stop in that game. You didn't get it. But again, it was Patrick Mahomes. He might go down as the single best quarterback in the history of the NFL when it's all said and done. It's okay if you misfire on that. But also back to the initial point. It wasn't as if the Cardinals were watching the Super Bowl to make their decision on who their head coach was going to be. They weren't going to say, oh, okay, it's going to be a one-off. Oh, he didn't stop Mahomes. He's not our guy. They zeroed in to take a look at the totality of the season for the Philadelphia Eagles because, yes, when you say, okay, it wasn't the greatest quarterbacks that they went up week after week after week. Nobody goes up against great quarterbacks every single week. Usually great quarterbacks light up defenses regardless of what those defensive structures actually are. And my favorite point of contention for the Eagles as well from a Jonathan Gannon, well, they don't play anybody anywhere. Their schedule is very easy. Let's get this out here. If the Eagles went 0-17 last year, you know what the metrics would have been? Man, the Eagles played the toughest schedule in the NFL. Why? Because everybody beat the Eagles. It's easy to look at those metrics when the Eagles beat everybody and knock them down the standings here. I'm not in love with Jonathan Gannon. He's not the biggest whiff of all time for the Eagles now that they can't overcompensate from. And also, I don't agree with the hiring for Arizona being a defensive guy, but let's not knock Jonathan Gannon. He got a job as a head coach here. His defense was very good. He's not a bad coach. And that's what I feel like some of the vibe is going like, how could you do that? Did you see Mahomes light him up? Did you see Mahomes light everybody up? Come on now.
But and so I think I land maybe more in the middle, right? I'm not... Some of the stuff out there, people are kind of cooking the numbers. Goff did not light them up, stop the madness. Rodgers did not light them up. He threw for 140 yards. You're out of your brain, okay? But Dak did go for 350 and three. And Mahomes did whatever he wanted. My thing is, I did see Lou Anarumo hold him in check. There's a 16-year gap between the two. But also, I'd have hired Eric Bieniemy if I was Arizona. So here we are, right? This is kind of the situation we end up in when, well, they hired a defensive coach, so we'll see if that works out. The Eagles will be promoting Ben Johnson, their quarterback's coach, to offensive coordinator. Still a lot to be figured out with DC. Shamefully, they would have been able to hire in Vic Fangio, but because this all took so long, they're not going to be able to do that. We go to Lamar Jackson next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Lamar Jackson time here on the early line. We begin with the simple news that they've hired a new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. Comes from the Georgia Bulldogs, back-to-back national championships for Monken on the resume. Just start there. That is that hire. It's good. He had some success in Tampa Bay. Obviously, things at Georgia went fantastic. If you could have brought in Bieniemy, though, I think that would have been very tempting. I still can't get a full read on how viable that was. Where do you land on the Todd Monken hire?
I can't say I love it, and I'm certainly not going to hate it because he's a very good football coach. But where all of this lands here is, I want to say like Baltimore is doing the right thing. But if Monken makes that leap now, comes back to the NFL, is he not at least picking up the phone with A, the Ravens, who are going to hire him, and B, Lamar Jackson going, hey, look, I've been watching your tape, Lamar. I think you are fantastic. I'm going to send you some content. I don't even know if I'm going to be your offensive coordinator, but let me send you some concepts of what I think I can do with you here. And Lamar goes, man, I really like this. I got a little rapport with this guy. Hey, Mr. Harbaugh in front office, please hire this guy. This is actually exciting stuff. Because I don't know how out of left field it is, because if Monken goes there and Lamar Jackson leaves, how do we even know who the quarterback is going to be? And that's why Monken took it. Like, he was waiting for the Ravens job to open up without Lamar Jackson. That sounds kind of hard for me to believe at this point. So put it this way, Kevin. If Lamar Jackson is on board with this signing and it greases the wheels for him to actually come back to Baltimore and get those good vibes going again, it's a home run. But if this is one of those where, hey, I never spoke to Lamar and I'm looking forward to be a Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator, I don't know what the heck they're doing then at that point.
Yeah, I think for Baltimore, they clearly wanted a different type of coordinator. Monken, I think, is a little more associated with downfield passing. So they were going to make a move seemingly like this regardless. Yes, you want Lamar's approval, but I also don't think Munkin's going to be like, never mind, if all of a sudden Lamar is traded. It's a job that gets him back into the NFL after winning back-to-back national championships at the collegiate level. This is probably right where he wants to be. You'd rather a talent like Lamar Jackson be in the mix, but it all depends kind of what the return is. Can you work with a young guy and all these different things? And he'd likely be fine with that, which then gets us to the Lamar stuff. The report comes out that if the Ravens are blown away by a package of draft picks, they'll probably part ways with Lamar Jackson. Which to me should mean there's no world Lamar should be a Raven. There's no way he should be a Raven. Donnie, why would there not be at least one, if not multiple teams, willing to offer up a windfall of draft picks to bring in Lamar Jackson, who has an MVP already, in a league, by the way, with a bunch of young superstar quarterbacks? Of course, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts, Allen, Lawrence, Herbert, Lamar, right in that mix. Why would this league not be jumping over one another to give the Ravens the draft compensation they desire?
I think that's right where you leave off the point, the draft compensation they desire. And also, Kevin, this is a little bit with the Aaron Rodgers moniker compared to Derek Carr. Now, granted, who would you rather have, Aaron Rodgers for one season or Carr? It's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers. Who would you rather have for one season, Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr? It's going to be Lamar Jackson. Of course, that's the case. But also, we have to remember this. Pick up the phone. Ring, ring, ring. Baltimore. Hey, man, I want to make a deal. And they go, all right, 4 first-round draft picks. Click. Even though you would say to yourself, if that results in a Super Bowl, you would do that. But Kevin, let's just say it's 3 first-round picks. And then what he's probably looking for, $250 million plus fully guaranteed. That's hard to do. I know Lamar Jackson is a wonderful talent. 15 to 20 teams would immediately give up a first-round pick and pay him a regular salary in the NFL for a quarterback, which would mean $50 million a year, just not all guaranteed. But if we're looking at, you have to have 2 to tango here, which means Lamar Jackson wants your organization. You work out and get 3 draft picks over to the Ravens, probably all first-rounders, maybe even plus, and then say, okay, Lamar, you got us over a barrel. What do you want? $300 million guaranteed. All of that goes into the mix in the pot here. A lot of NFL teams would want Lamar Jackson, but sometimes that price point you look at and go, wow, I don't even know if it makes sense at this point if we factor every single thing in.
So what would happen is a lot of GMs will think the way Donnie does, and I would swoop in and snag one of the five most valuable quarterbacks in football. He's 26 with an MVP. Yeah. Who cares? $300 million? Enjoy it. You're worth it. Are you kidding me? Let me ask you something, Donnie. Yeah. Pat Mahomes is on the market. You having this conversation? That's Joe Burrow's on the market.
Oh, no.
Are we doing this song and dance? What? No. Josh Allen's on the market. We doing this song and dance?
Three or four first-round picks maybe for Allen. Yeah. Burrow, a little bit different for me, and Patrick Mahomes. I think you could put them in a different category right now.
Oh, really? Josh Allen's falling back all of a sudden for you. That's news to me. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
Maybe have a New Jersey next year on the wall. Maybe Joey B.
Wow, something to think about there.
I fall in and out of love quickly after Valentine's Day. You wait.
Yeah, you move fast there. Let's see. There's two, and you look at the two conferences, though, right? And just go to the NFC side of it. The Atlanta Falcons are 75-1 to win the Super Bowl. Horrendous odds. A lot of people think they might just be the worst team in the NFC South. If all I tell you is that Lamar Jackson joins the Atlanta Falcons, what do their Super Bowl odds move to, Donnie, if he joins the Atlanta Falcons from 75-1, 20-1?
The correct answer is markedly lower because he's a very good quarterback. And if you go to a team that doesn't have a good quarterback, they're going to significantly increase those odds. But again, it's about price points and what you can put around a football team, because what do we always yell at the Baltimore Ravens for? And what are the Ravens actually saying, which really makes me laugh? If I pay you all this guaranteed money, I can't get you a wide receiver. When is that going to creep in? Because you know me, the way I play it out. Hey, an owner, put it right now. The Rams, if they had enough draft capital, could probably go and get Lamar Jackson, fit him and Matthew Stafford under the salary cap and sign everybody under the sun, right? Jokingly, because that's what their owner would make happen. I just would need to see him go to, because I think Baltimore makes the most sense. In the same way I always talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers making the most sense. Keep the guy in town, sign him to his deal, get him a good offensive coordinator, which looks like they did, sign a nice free agent wide receiver, draft another one, and away the Ravens go. Like, I don't know why they have to complicate this, but also, again, the Ravens don't have to give up draft picks to keep their own quarterback. It's just about money. It makes too much sense for him just to stay in Baltimore at this point, because the only way it gets complicated, if he goes to a different team, they lose all that draft capital, which is supposed to be used to help Lamar Jackson in the future draft picks, stack those wide receivers and running backs and tight ends and offensive linemen. It just makes way too much sense to stay in Baltimore.
Yeah, but so then Lamar's option is to stay in Baltimore and have no wide receivers or go somewhere
Bijan's
else.
Bijan's coming to town. Bijan.
Yeah, no, he's not, right? They're going to take another linebacker. Don, he gets traded to Atlanta, and Drake London will be the best wide receiver he's ever seen. If he gets and they'll have Kyle Pitts if he still wants to keep it rocking with a tight end. If he goes to Atlanta, they're the favorites in the NFC South right away, right? Any disagreement there?
That's the only move made. They probably move to the front, yes.
I got it. If Derek Carr ends up with New Orleans, you would maybe consider it rosters.
Exactly.
But he goes to Atlanta, they're the favorites. Yeah. And then just quickly, right? Lamar, for just next year, who would you rather have? Lamar or Matthew Stafford?
Lamar.
Lamar or Kirk Cousins?
Lamar.
Lamar or Dak Prescott?
Lamar.
Lamar or Jalen Hurts?
Now, we're going to throw in Gardner Minshew. Is that quarterback room here to try to
keep it
even?
No, I'm going to leave Gardner Minshew out of the conversation.
No, Jalen Hurts actually put himself into it's pretty crazy how good it's Jalen Hurts. If you ask me, I'm going to ask you this question, too, because I'm going to rhetorical right back to you. Right now, it sits, both quarterbacks up for contracts here. If it was all even and you didn't have to trade any or how about this? The Ravens pick up the phone and go, boy, we love Hurts. Eagles pick up the phone and go, we've an eye on Lamar Jackson. Do you make that move if you're the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow morning?
No, that's how much I like Jalen Hurts.
I don't think I do.
It's close.
Exactly.
And here's why I did that little exercise. Lamar Jackson is, at worst, the second best quarterback in the conference right away. Donnie, there's people who would tell you he's not a top five quarterback in the AFC. I think that'd be pretty extreme, but you would see people go Pat, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Lawrence, and they'd try to put Lamar to the side. He walks into the NFC, and it's like, well, all right, it's him and Hurts. That's kind of where we're at, right? Dak's somewhere in that conversation. So I understand that you'd be giving up a lot. He's not 37. He's not 31. He's 26 years old. If this goes right, Donnie, you'll pay him twice the team trading for him. You'll pay him now and a whole nother contract to be your franchise quarterback. That is what I feel like gets so lost in the conversation. And I'll say this. If I'm Lamar, I don't want to stay in Baltimore. They've given you no wide receivers while you were on a rookie contract, and they are already telling you that we are now going to have to strip the cupboard bare if we pay you. I am not staying in Baltimore, Donnie, if I am Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, what's next here? As soon as Lamar signs, you can't afford Mark Andrews anymore. We're going to go get a fifth-round tight end
JK
to try
Dobbins
to help you out
cut.
At this point. But I thought it was hilarious because most organizations go, we're going to do anything we can to keep Lamar Jackson, and we have a profile. We want him back. We actually sent him a FedEx envelope that says, hey, here's how much we're going to have left over to spend on your offensive weapons around you. And they do the opposite. Go like, shit. This guy wants money, man. We can't even get anybody. We don't even know if we got him before. As an owner, I might have to sell this team if I have to pay Lamar Jackson. Yeah. That's the vibes the Ravens are sending out to their franchise guy. Not picking up the phone going, hey, Lamar, come back. We got a deal on the table, but look at the wide receivers we're going to go after for you. It seems like it's the opposite. Hey, Lamar, if you want your money, understand this. You're not going to have any help around you. Terrible.
They're going to play 10 on 11 on offense. They're going to be like, listen, we just don't have a left tackle anymore. Like, we've got four offensive linemen. This is what we had to do the second we
paid. They're going to run the Dallas Cowboys final play of the season there as their entire offense.
Yes.
Where, like, you know, J.K. Dobbins is snapping it to them because they can't afford a center anymore.
100%. I mean, listen, and that's maybe how Todd Monken got the job. He's like, listen, I know how to make it work with just absolutely nobody on the field. I love this play that they drew up over there in Dallas. That, to me, is the biggest thing, is the opportunity for any of these NFC teams to just immediately catapult to having, at worst, fourth-best odds in the conference has to be also tempting. And I'll say this, and I don't know if they can make this work, because if the Niners got Lamar Jackson, they'd be the favorites to win the Super Bowl. That's what would happen if he went to San Francisco. Am I crazy, Donnie?
Oh, sure. No. Like, if there's a couple of quarterbacks that go to San Francisco, they're going to be the favorite to win it because it seems like they're just missing it. But again, that's a quarterback. That's why. That's a huge missing piece for them right now.
Yeah. But shout out to the Niners for having the third best odds to win the Super Bowl, and nobody thinks their quarterback room is worth anything. So that's just an absolutely tremendous piece of business, man. This quarterback conversation will, of course, continue. We'll pick up some of the Derek Carr pieces a little bit in hour number two. We're going to close out our opening hour with a look at last night's NBA and college basketball slate.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, closing out hour number one. Fun night last night in the association. A lot of overs. It felt like we're giving it out at least in some of the early games. We saw, of course, that high-scoring overtime, Bucks-Celtics, Raptors-Magic did its thing. DRS, any takeaways from you yesterday on, again, a lighter NBA night?
Yeah, just that Milwaukee Bucks game I thought was interesting. I thought the Bucks would win. They didn't cover because the Boston Celtics ran out Griffin, Williams, Hauser, Muscala, and White and took the Milwaukee Bucks to overtime with Giannis in that lineup. But I think your point is valid here. I love to see the scoring around the NBA. It's just a lot more fun to bet here, including props.
I think for me, another thing is, despite a 25-point loss, but Damian Lillard is in one of those zones again. Followed up the 40-point game against the Lakers with a 39-point game last night against the Washington Wizards. He's averaging 36 points per game this month. It's out of control. He's just completely locked in right now after a slower start to his season. He has been absolutely fantastic. And then quickly, college basketball yesterday. Look, it's more of the same. Providence laid a light number at home against Creighton. They win and cover. Syracuse, light number at home last night against NC State. Win and cover. OU, light number at home last night against K-State. They smashed them by 14. The only exception on the slate, Donnie, was Kansas beating Oklahoma State on the road by 11.
Yeah, no surprise there. Providence hasn't lost a game on their home court. Yep, they won another game on their home court. But I actually slipped on the banana peel with Kansas State. I looked at that again. I said, never, ever take a team on the road. And I said, but Oklahoma is so, so bad. And you're right. They smashed a top 15 opponent at home because that's what happens in the Big 12. Nobody wins on the road. Apparently, Kansas never got that memo last night. But my goodness, just going on the road, a detriment to your health, Kevin.
And again, the crazy thing about it is, OU was a favorite in the basketball game. And yeah. You look at it and you go, yeah, sounds about right. And there's a couple of spots that fit that description on tonight's board as well. We've got full college basketball and full NBA preview coming up in hour number two. But we start with some Twitter beef as hour number two of the early line gets locked and loaded.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.